Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome back, everybody. We were just having a hilarious off-air discussion, and we're now going to bring this hilarity to this new episode of Suggestible.
We were not. We were staring off into the distance.
You and Mason sadness. Are the same. I'm trying to bring some life into the show. I'm trying to pretend like we don't just stare dead-eyed at each other
we for 4 minutes. We also ate our way through a block of chocolate.
Well, yeah, I bought a block of chocolate for me, and you're like, I don't want any chocolate.
All right, stop banging
And then you're
on
coming
things.
In at my chocolate.
Get on with the show.
Okay, it's called Suggestible. We suggest things that we've been watching or reading or doing or whatever to people who listen. And people also write in with some suggestible things of their own, presumably.
That is correct. I am Claire. You are James. We are married.
That's right. We are married.
And as always on this podcast, last week I threw the format. But this week, it's gentleman's first.
Oh, I can't wait.
So it's your turn, mate. What is the first thing you're suggesting these fine people look at?
I've got a couple of things today, obviously, because that is the format of the show, generally, to fill out this half an hour.
Oh, dear Lord.
Sorry,
listeners.
Chocolate
in
my mouth.
Oh, and he's burping as well.
No, I'm coughing.
Oh, God. Okay.
I was just thinking about before the show, that great joke, the conversation that we had. Just having a good time off air and on air, you know? Okay, so are you familiar with the Blumhouse horror kind of movie production?
Sorry, what was that? I was Blumhouse. Staring off into a void.
Blumhouse, Claire.
It's sad as a death.
Basically, the Blumhouse model for horror movies.
Your hair looks very grey today.
Thank you. Wait. The Blumhouse model is that they make horror movies on the cheap for like under $10 million. They market them reasonably well, and then they go on to make like anywhere between 20 and like 150 million,
Seems
right?
It's like a good business.
It's a great model because they keep the cost low. Like a lot of movies make the mistake of they go in at $150 million.
Holy moly. Because I was thinking $10 million seemed like a lot for a film.
No, it's not really. It's quite. Like, and they'll use, they might put in like one kind of big name actor or reasonably big, and then they'll keep costs down on everything else.
So basically, how much do they spend on like an Avengers movie?
That movie was maybe $250 million, the last one.
Moses.
I think it might have been 500 in total. I don't have it in front of me. But that's not uncommon. Like Star Wars would probably be about that. If it's a big movie they really push, you'll double that in marketing.
Holy.
Yeah. So that's probably $500 million in total for a movie
just
like that.
Cool.
I mean it made $3 billion or whatever, nearly $3 billion. So it doesn't.
Whoa.
But then you get movies like The Dark Tower. Do you know what that is?
Yes.
Do you really?
Of course I don't. Why would I know that?
Well, I'm just saying, it's a movie from last year. It's a Stephen King adaptation.
Okay.
This is unrelated. I guess we're on this tangent though, aren't we?
We've fallen down the rabbit hole. I should never have asked this question, guys.
Oh, Dark Tale's not even from last year. It's from the year before. But they spent $113 million on that. Nobody saw it. It made $66 million. So it's very much in the red. Right. So then you get examples like that. Basically, the Hollywood model is it's either big or small, do you know what I mean? There's nothing in between. But Blumhouse kind of, they lean on the smaller side, but they're relatively big releases. Anyway, they've got this franchise called Happy Death Day, right?
Oh, God.
It's kind of,
you are nothing but consistent.
No, you will like this one, I think. It's kind of horror movie light. It's like diet horror movie, right?
All right.
And so, you know, there's not a lot of blood and there's not a lot of like gore. It's kind of more in the model of maybe Scream, but a bit tamer. And it's basically this girl, she goes to college. She's a college student. She's a bit of a bloody layabout. And people don't like her because she's kind of mean, but maybe she's got some personal problems that unfold. Anyway, she wakes up in the morning. She goes through her day. She's miserable and she's angry at everybody. And then at the end of the day, she gets murdered. She wakes up again, start of the same day again. It happens again. So it keeps happening again and again. It's the same. It's Groundhog Day, but she's being murdered.
It sounds like that Netflix show Russian Doll.
Yeah, it's a bit like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Same thing.
I mean, yeah, but not as good. But yes. But at the same time, it knows exactly what it is. And it's, you know, it's like schlocky and it's kind of funny in parts. And the lead, whose name is, what's her name? Jessica Roth. It's got an E on the end. She's really good at playing this particular character who goes from like really like bitchy and mean to kind of learning a lesson. And then also like getting really fed up and exasperated because every day she's getting stabbed or thrown off a building. And she's like, God damn it. I hate this. And so, yeah. And so she has to, and every time she kind of dies, she learns something about the killer. like where they might be, who it isn't, you know what I mean? And it kind of unfolds as it goes. So it's kind of this whodunit with the added element of it's this time loop that she's stuck in, which she tries to break. Anyway, there's a sequel that came out two years later called Happy Death Day to You. That's a two and a U, like the number two and then the letter U.
I get it.
Yes.
I get it.
It's also her birthday.
Two, like anyway, T-O-U.
No, that's not what I said, Claire. But
Happy Death Day to you, old Jim Bob.
Yes, thank you.
Your grey hair is so
I
gray.
Wish it was my death day, I'll tell you that much. And then I don't wake up again. But
I had a raspberry seed stuck in one of my teeth.
That's good. That's from stealing chocolate. That's what you get. Anyway, chocolate. Sorry, I'm nearly done. But so it's basically the same format, except the twist on it is it turns out that what's been happening is there's been alternate dimensions being created every time she's murdered. So she kind of slips into a parallel dimension, which is a lot like the first day she got murdered, but things are slightly different. Like her boyfriend's dating somebody else, like one of her nemesis or whatever. The killer's different. The person who killed her last time is now like a good person in this because it's a slightly different dimension. So it's kind of like Back to the Future 2. I don't know if you've ever seen that, which I think you have.
I certainly have.
Where it deals with the same time period, except there's a twist on it. So I don't think the second one is as good as the first one, but it's just, look, if you want like a easy kind of fun schlocky horror movie that if you're not really into horror, if you're more kind of into rom-coms and like a Mean Girls kind of thing,
yeah,
it's kind of that. And I think you might actually like it.
That actually sounds like something I would like. Mm. When you said Happy Death Day, I was thinking it was going to be your usual recommendation, which was like last time, the movie
It's terrible.
Silence.
There's a lot of movies like this sort of like, there's like Lindsay Lohan's got one called like I Know Who Killed Me or something like that. But this one is, it knows exactly what it is and it's kind of fun and breezy and it's like, and the first one made like, they spent $5 million on it and it made $120 million. So it's like, that's the kind of movie.
That's
kind of money that this Blumhouse model, I think, is fascinating. Anyway, and really smart as well.
Cool. So where can you find that?
The first one's on Netflix. Second one, I rented off iTunes or Google Play.
All right. Those, excellent. Yeah. I actually am going to watch that.
Yeah.
I'm on a plane tomorrow. Maybe I'll watch it on the plane.
Yeah, with our son sitting next to you.
Oh, yeah. No, maybe not.
Claire,
when I get back.
You're a worse parent than me, and I'm a terrible parent, all right? What's Nobody your recommendation? What's your suggestible?
All right. That sounds like a legit good suggestible. Thanks, James. My suggestible is Glow.
Oh, yeah. Glow's great.
Glow. I love it so much. It was actually recommended to me by Maisie X on Twitter. Thank you so much, Maisie. And you know how when people recommend you things, you initially kind of go, I don't want to watch it?
Every goddamn day.
Yeah, for some weird reason, I always think, oh, no, I don't know. I don't know. And you always suggest things to me. I'm always like, what? And then as soon as I watch it, I love it. And this is what happened with Glow. I've almost finished the first season because I just binge watched it till like 1 a.m. last night.
Third season is just got released.
Correct. Yeah. It's on Netflix at the moment. It is a show about gorgeous ladies of wrestling. That's what GLOW stands for. It stars Alison Brie, who was like the cheese.
Like the cheese,
there you go, B-R-I-E, who was originally in Mad Men.
Community.
And Community.
I'm sorry, I'm going to stop interrupting.
You are, because you've seen this as well. Stop interrupting, let me talk. Jeez, and it also has the wonderful comedian Mark Maron from the podcast WTF.
Yes.
And he is his signature hilarious self in this. Yes. I really am enjoying it. It's set in LA in the 80s. Alison Brie's character, Ruth, is basically an actor who can't get any work.
There's no good female roles as well. And
yeah, there isn't. Yeah. Thanks for interrupting again.
I'm just trying I'm fleshing out. Podcasts are back and forth, Claire. It's not a one-sided conversation unless you're listening to the show.
All right. He's awake, guys. Last week you were about to have a nap, but this is your time to shine.
Ready.
Okay, so there are no great female roles. Alison Brie keeps getting knocked back.
Right.
Her character Ruth keeps getting knocked back from everything. And so then she kind of stumbles into this audition of misfits, of women who are misfits in Hollywood. And it's for a female wrestling show. Mark Maron's character is the director. And it kind of just goes on from there. It's so surprising how touching it is.
Yeah.
As well as hilarious.
It's very funny.
The pacing is brilliant. Mm. What I really loved about it, though, is it's created by Carly Minsk. I'm going to say these names wrong. And Liz Flahive. And those two are the showrunners. And I heard an interview with a couple of the actors, one in particular, Gilpin, who plays the gorgeous blonde character, Debbie, who's kind of like the hero to Alison Brie's character's like Russian terrible. What is it, Zoya the Destroyer wrestling?
When you were like, you loved the show, and then but then when they're actually doing the wrestling, you're like, why do people like this?
Yeah, why is wrestling a thing? Yeah. I've never really understood it before. And then it kind of explores in the show how actually it's just a soap opera.
It's exactly what it is.
Yeah, and you blew my mind with that.
Yeah, it's like a soap opera. It's like an ongoing series. It's like anything. It's like the Marvel universe. It's like Anne of Green Gables or whatever. It's an ongoing narrative. It's like Little Women, which had a new trailer this week. And let me tell you about they should call it regular size women. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it does look – actually, that trailer for Little Women does look really awesome. Yeah. I'm really excited about it. Yeah, you're absolutely right. And so I suddenly am starting to learn about why people are so into wrestling. I didn't realize it was all for show. People don't actually get hurt in it. It's not boxing.
People do get hurt.
Oh, they do?
Occasionally, yeah. Sometimes they die.
Really?
There was a guy a few years back, I can't remember which – one of the Hart brothers, I can't remember which one, he was getting lowered into the ring and he fell and he hit his head on the turnbuckle and died.
Oh my
God. The whole crowd was like, boo, get up, because you don't know what's real.
No.
And an ambulance rolls in and people think it's all part of whatever, because that kind of stuff happens all the time, you know.
Yeah,
anyway,
yeah,
he died,
it's all staged. Yeah. Oh, God.
But it's a lot of like, you know, like they have heart surgeries because they've, you know, a lot of them from the 80s in particular had a lot of steroid abuse and things like that to get that big and a lot of just bad knees. There's a movie called The Wrestler with Mickey Rourke, which covers a lot of... Anyway, sorry, go on.
Okay, I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
It's like a competitive sport in like... Injury-wise, that is. Like it's,
okay, but you're not punching them.
No, but
it's more kind of staged,
It's very physical.
Yeah,
it's very taxing.
Yeah, and you see that in this. The women are really trained hard to become quite muscular and kick-ass, which I really, really love.
Mm.
Most of the bosses and the producers on this are women. So it's created a completely different environment.
Yeah.
And Gilpin was talking about how, as an actor, she had to re-examine the way that she acts in front of male directors and men in general, and how often it stifles creativity. And I've found that completely. For me, when I'm often sitting on a panel and it's me, I'm the only girl, I immediately feel unease. And I feel kind of restricted. And I'm not saying that I'm the same as like those actors in a, you know, a big Hollywood TV show, but it does stifle your creativity in a way. And she said that because it's such a female dominated set, you immediately relax and it's a different environment, which means that you are no longer feeling like the male gaze on your body in the way that you move your body, in the way that you say things, in the way you can ad lib.
Yeah,
it's
right.
It's just this like freedom that the women kind of experience. And you can see that in the TV show because of the way that they interact with each other, the way that they, like, Alison Brie doesn't have to be sexy in this at all. In fact, she's quite unlikable.
Well, and there's even a line where he's like, are you good looking or not? I can't tell kind of thing. Yeah,
exactly. And she's quite a sexless character. Like, she has an affair in the very first opening kind of scenes, which shapes the rest of the series. But other than that, she's really quite a sexless character. And that kind of freedom just creates this sort of warm, welcoming vibe. Or not even, I don't even know if it's welcoming, it's kind of, it's safe.
You know what's really,
for women?
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what's really good about her in particular? Like, she has been kind of framed that way before, and she's really good. Like, she's been good in a bunch of stuff, including like Community
and Mad Men,
as you mentioned. But she's really good at acting like a bad actor. And then do that layer always impresses me when, you know, she'll do like a monologue and then she'll kind of have an actual real, like, genuine moment within the show, like directly after. And it's really impressive the way that she can kind of switch.
Isn't it?
Because bad acting, I'd imagine, I don't know anything about acting, it must be such a fine line to kind of tip over into kind of ludicrous, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Exactly. And then on a hairpin, she can go from being terrible as an actor to being, brilliant.
Mm.
And brilliant as a bad actor becoming a good actor as well.
Yeah.
She kind of owns her character and finds this kind of wrestling, what is it, Zoya the Destroyer?
Persona, yeah.
Yeah, persona. And that's great to see on screen.
The persona thing is interesting as well because a lot of the most famous wrestlers, they go through a few personas. Like, Dwayne The Rock Johnson, he was The Rock, but before that he was something else. I can't remember what it was. And they kind of find their way. And once you land on a character that kind of resonates with audiences, it really kind of takes off. You develop this
narrative with the audience and this whole backstory.
Yeah, absolutely. So,
that's what really fascinated me about it. Yeah, anyway, I highly recommend checking out Glow.
I agree.
It's really, really awesome.
I've only seen the first season, so when you get up to two, we should watch it together.
Yeah, we
never watch anything together.
We never do anymore. And I stopped watching The Handmaid's Tale as well. We were watching together. It was too intense for me. One other thing I will say about Glow is it made me cry. It did that thing where it makes me laugh so much, and the pace of it and the timing and editing is just great.
Yeah.
Like there was a shot in the last episode I watched where Mike Maron kind of at the very end of the scene kicks over a coffee cup. The coffee kind of rolls onto the ground and he goes, "Ah, fuck." And then he stubs out his cigarette into the spilt coffee and just walks off.
Mm.
And it doesn't need to be there. It's nothing is said about it. It just moves on to the next scene. But it is just such a great way of showing his, like, general mental state and not give a fuckness.
He's great. We saw him when he was in Melbourne once. Do you remember? We went and saw his comedy show.
Yeah,
he was eating Tim Tams on stage or whatever.
Yeah. He's awesome. And his podcast was one of the originals.
Yeah, amazing. It was, yeah.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, what's your next suggestion?
My next one, I was going to talk about this last week, but I just finished it and I kind of wanted to sit on it a bit to kind of think on it. It's called Euphoria. It's a show, I believe it's HBO, but it might not be. I should have looked into that. Anyway, it stars Zendaya, who you might know as the new Mary Jane from the Spider-Man movies.
Yes, she's great.
I really like her in that movie and also in this movie, but less so. They're not the same character, but she's really funny and kind of and like mean and sharp, which I really, really enjoy. Also, it's interesting. This is unrelated, but in Spider-Man, she's quite tall and she's clearly taller than Peter Parker, but they don't put him in lifts like they do for like Robert Downey Jr. and Gwyneth Paltrow, who like they make him the same height.
Anyway, I think that's a funny little thing. Those movies, which is ridiculous.
Often she'll be barefoot and he'll be in like Iron Man boots or whatever. But anyway, Jacob Elordi, who plays like a bully in it, Maude Apatow, who's Leslie Mann and one of Judd Apatow's girls. She's like 21 now. But anyway, if you've ever seen Skins, it's like, which is a British show which is focused on teen drama and things like that. But not just like, not teen drama in the sense of like, I don't know, like the OC, I guess. It's more kind, it's very gritty. It's like, so Zendaya's character is she's a drug addict and she grew up and she was diagnosed with like OCD and a bunch of other things and she lost her father when she was a teenager. And so this leads her into like substance abuse where she's just taking any and all pills or whatever. So it's her and her mum and her younger sister. And so it deals with things like that. There's a couple of transgender actors in it as well, which kind of weaves into the story, but not in like a, not in an obvious and kind of, I guess, kind of cliche way, I guess. You know what I mean? Where everyone seems to be aware that this person is transgender, but it's not really, it's not the main focus. It's more like this character is kind of beyond that, which is really interesting.
Yeah, well, that's like in Booksmart. Like the girl, I can't remember her name now, who is one of the lead characters is gay, but it's not the main plot line. It's just like a side note.
It just is.
Yeah.
And there's like people struggling with their sexuality. The bully in particular who's in this is just this terrible like jock character who just seemingly he's really cunning and ruthless and just kind of gets away with stuff. And there's kind of this hint towards is he gay or is he bisexual? Does he like, and you can, that kind of feeds into the anger and the things that he does, you get the sense of why he's doing it, even though he's terrible. And it deals with like pornography and how that plays a role in teenagers' lives. And when you grow up with it, how does that affect relationships? You know, cause if teenagers watch a lot of pornography as, you know, when they're little, it kind of can bleed over into what they think is normal into real life. You know what I mean?
Which
is a problem in schools, which we've experienced
in schools. It's a huge thing. Yeah. And I actually said to a friend the other day that I want to talk to my son about porn. And she looked at me and was like, he's three. And also, that's disturbing.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, I know that sounds weird, but it's because boys especially often their first, and girls too, but particularly young men, their first idea of what sex is porn. And that is nowhere near what actually makes for a healthy sex life and nowhere near what women
certainly,
like.
And
or
certainly
need.
Not the first thing you want to be doing with somebody. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Yeah. And it gives these unreal expectations for women of what they should look like and how they should act. And also guys want women to enjoy it and instead they're watching this stuff and none of those moves are actually enjoyable for women.
It's like positioned for the camera and whatever and what looks best and
Yeah, yeah, whatever. Exactly.
But it's also like people sending like nude selfies to each other and how that affects, and it becomes like almost like a currency in this show, which it is, and that's something we taught primary school, but you hear, you know, we hear a lot of it in from people who either go on into high school or, you know, we've got friends who work in high schools, and it is a problem, you know what I mean? Yeah. What I used to do this lesson with my kids was I showed a picture of Katy Perry with no makeup on, but it was Russell Brand when they used to date or when they were married, posted online and was online for like 30 seconds, but it's online forever. And they're like, oh, that's funny or whatever. I'm like, but it's like if anything you put on your phone or anything ever digital – you may as well just assume that everybody's going to see this. That's how you should approach everything you put online, you know?
Yeah.
And there's kind of there's shaming and people being stuck in their roles and their jobs and just being a teenager and it sucks, and people getting away with things that shouldn't be getting away with things. But aside from all that, it's just a really beautifully made show, and in terms of how it's structured and the storyline and the characters and the relationships between each other. But also some of the shots are just spectacular. I showed you one in particular where Zendaya takes, I can't remember, a drug and then walks down a hallway, and the hallway spins and she kind of climbs the ceiling and as it rotates around. But all the people in the room don't move. And I'm looking at this shot and I couldn't work out how they did it. And it turns out that they kind of tied everybody down and spun the whole room.
That is insane.
And so they look like they're not moving while she's kind of doing a loop of the room. And it's just incredible. It's 8 episodes. It's going to get a second season. But it's just spectacular television. That being said, it's really grim and you'd probably hate it. but it's
might be able to handle it.
Yeah, but it's really excellent. It's probably one of the best shows I've seen this year.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow, that's a big call. Okay.
And Leonardo DiCaprio likes it. He said so in an interview recently.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. I wonder if he'll review the Weekly Planet soon like Macaulay Culkin did.
Maybe they will.
Maybe he will. Maybe they both will.
Maybe they won't.
Maybe they won't. Who knows? So anyway, oh, well, there you go. Okay. And that's on Netflix as well?
No, that's on
Hulu.
I think it's on Foxtel here, but it's on HBO.
All right.
Overseas, okay. Yeah. So, I definitely acquired it illegally in answer to your question.
Oh, God, no, don't say that.
No, legally, I said. No, I said I got it legally.
All right, legally from Google Play or iTunes or one of those many spots. Yes. All right, well, that actually ties really well into my next recommendation. My suggestible is a TED Talk by... Yeah,
they still do those?
They do. Oh, they still do them. I actually, a couple of months ago, was very lucky enough to go to the Sydney TED Talk Expo thing, which was incredible. And I watched all these amazing speakers, and it reminded me again how much I love TED Talks. Occasionally, when I'm feeling kind of down and out, I just like to go in and Google, like, I don't know, depression, and then see what comes up. Or just, they have such fascinating people talk on TED Talks.
They do.
Anyway. This one is by a girl called Eve Blake, and that's
Y-V-E. I just want to point out, I didn't steal it. It's like you can stream it after because the season was finished. It's neither here nor there. Okay. But just in case people were like, I'll definitely steal a thing, but this thing I did not steal. It's about you can get it.
Okay,
I just don't like Foxtel.
Nothing dodgy. No. Nothing sus is happening here. It's all good. Okay,
sorry, I'll be stealing stuff. So, I'm sorry. I just wanted to point that out in case, you know.
Good Lord, you're just interrupting me.
I apologize. Keep going, please. I apologize.
Yeah. Are you sure? Are you done?
And another thing. No, go on.
All right. Eve Blake does a TED Talk called Fangirls, which on the outset you think, why do I care about this? You should. It's awesome. She deep dives into the phenomenon of fangirls and those, you know, those kind of amazingly obsessive girls who follow like the Beatles, say, and that kind of screaming fan of, I don't know, One Direction or the Spice Girls and how they kind of fall head over heels and they would just do anything for those kind of guys.
Yeah.
In bands like that. And how she kind of realized that over time, women are perceived, particularly young women are perceived, if they're obsessed in that way, as crazy. But then when you think about young men that go to the football and they scream and cry and yell over their, like, you know, favorite soccer hero, it is exactly the same thing.
Everyone's a nerd about something.
Exactly. But women, particularly young girls, are often seen as hysterical rather than kind of like boisterous or, you know, just a fan. So she deep dives into that and it's really, really interesting. It's also very funny. She interviews a lot of different fangirls. She talks to young girls who are obsessed with like Harry Styles and the phenomenon of how like he vomited on the side of a freeway. Within 15 minutes there was a shrine.
Yeah. Did you hear he turned down the role of Prince Eric in The New Little Mermaid?
I did hear that. Yeah. Because I've got my ear to the grindstone.
How do you feel about that?
Ear to the... I don't know, something.
Put your ear to the grindstone.
I don't know. I always mix my metaphors. I'm very tired. I don't cope late at night.
We should find an optimum point for this. I don't know when it is because we both peak at different points during the day. Yeah.
Who knows? Oh, God. Anyway, I always am listening for Disney news and I did know that one. Yeah, so it's really great. It's a TED Talk. She has also created a musical, which is incredible. She's a singer as well as a musician. And I interviewed her for Just Make the Thing, my podcast. And that'll be coming out soon this week as well. But the
is that
musical,
out this week?
Yes.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah, the musical that she's written and stars in, oh, my God, she's so clever. It's out in Brisbane and Sydney in September and October. So you can get tickets for that if you're lucky enough to be in those cities. And I just so reckon you should jump on board. Tim Minchin, that Australian guy who created Matilda, is one of her mentors and saw her performing something and just, like, fell head over heels and said she was brilliant. The great thing about Eve Blake is that she's all self-taught. So she's an actor, but she's a great singer, but she never mastered music and never learned how to kind of read music or play an instrument exactly. So she's created this musical with really complex, like incredibly amazing scores all through using a computer program.
She's clearly just got an ear for it.
Yeah, she's got an ear for it and painstakingly put this together and layered it. And it's just funky and hilarious and loud and raucous and joyful and covered in sequins and glitter.
Would you say give the TED Talk a listen? Sure. And the musical if it's in your area, but maybe check out the top podcast episode where you talked to her about creativity and such.
Yeah, but I think you should listen to the TED Talk first.
I'm also saying
it's
that, short. Claire.
It's only like a 10-minute TED
Talk. Oh, thank God.
She came out in a full sequin bodysuit and it was just like the best thing ever.
There is definitely that episode. And there's also people who are like, because there are like manic, crazy fanboys as well.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she talks but to them is, as well. She kind of looks at why people become obsessed
but it is
with
a thing
like
of
a
like,
celebrity.
It's hysterical when it's associated with women, like talking like Beatlemania. It's like, look at all these screaming women and whatever.
Yeah, aren't they ridiculous?
Yeah, but men screaming at football is fine.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly, and going above and beyond and like punching each other till over like, you know, what colour their teammates wear or whatever.
Exactly. And also, like I said before, maybe I said this today. Did I say this? Everyone's a nerd about something.
You already said that. But you say that a lot. That's your like.
Did I say this particular episode though?
Yes, you did.
Oh, good.
I know. Just repeating yourself in your old age. Oh, well. So that's who I would recommend. We're nearly coming to the end of the show.
Thank God.
I have
Thank
one more cheeky
God.
Recommendation. Can I sneak
Claire,
it in?
Claire, what's the time? Look at the machine. What
27
is the
minutes to
You're
go.
Lucky. You
I
are
know.
Lucky duck.
I'm sneaking it in. Okay, so this is a book that I'm reading at the moment. It's called You Will Probably Survive by the Lauren
I mean, not
Dubois.
In the long term.
No. It's actually a parenting book, which I know kind of sounds boring, but it's hilarious.
I've tried parenting books.
Yeah, I know. Can't. Me too. But it's not that kind of parenting book. It doesn't give you any advice on how to do anything. It's just funny. It just goes through all the ridiculous things that people tell you about parenthood and then just debunks all of the myths about sleep and all the BS, goes through being pregnant and your expectations to like having a baby and then having a toddler. And she basically just talks about how freaking hard it all is. And
can you give me an
you
example of like a thing that she
alone.
Debunks?
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. So I will say she talks a lot about how people are always going on about sleep routines and like before you have the baby, how you get given books like this stupid book called Save Your Sleep, where you're supposed to like get up at 6:45 exactly and feed your baby.
I mean,
and
that works for some people, obviously.
Well, it does. Yeah. And that's exactly what she says. Like it works for some, not for others.
Yeah. We kind of started with things like that and then we were just like, you know what, fuck it. Let's just do what we.
Yeah. And that's kind of what she says. So that's kind of her shtick, really. And just like the whole idea that you have this idea of what you'll be like as a parent and then the reality of it is your child pooping on your dog or something and you're running around just like just in a total flap and panic and not being able to
just clarify our child has never pooped on our dog.
No, he really never has it. But I just thought it'd be a funny analogy. But like it's just really nice to read if you're someone who's got a small child, if you're about to have a baby and you just want to hear all the stuff that nobody tells you.
Yeah.
You know, all the really warts and all, not beautiful Instagrammable pictures.
I think I've discouraged some people from having kids from just being like, people lie to you. And I didn't think that going in it would be easy, but it's harder than in ways that you don't expect, I guess.
Yeah.
And so without like explicitly telling people, because you really can't, it's one of those things you can only truly experience yourself, blah, 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 whatever. But yeah, I've discouraged people by being like, people lie to you. People say like birth's magical and whatever. It's horrible. It's like being in a horror movie.
Yeah. And look, some people do have those magical unicorn births. And that's what she says too. Like, all of this comes with like a disclaimer, because there are those magical unicorn babies that sleep through the night. And some women do just like pull their babies out and have this like wonderful orgasm as they're like doing it all, and it's just these roses and
kids grow up to be ice addicts though. And generally, yeah.
Who knows? But she said, but they're the rare people.
Do you remember when? I'm sure you remember when you were giving when you were in labour.
No,
like,
I've forgotten.
And you're like,
of course I do.
And you're like, put on that the music that
on
I
my
wanted.
Relaxing like a birth.
And as soon as I put it on, you're like, no, fucking turn it off. No. I'd rather nothing. I'd rather just hear my own screams.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. My one memory of that whole birthday is like me being in
this
the
is
worst
outrageous,
pain of my
I
whole
say.
Life. And well, I ended up with so many drugs on board and all these things, and I look over and you're eating a chicken burger.
I was eating a big sandwich.
A big chicken sandwich.
I just
That's
want
my one memory, and I remember thinking that goddamn asshole.
I want to specify. We went there at like 4 a.m. and it was like maybe 2 or 4 in the afternoon. I have no idea. I hadn't eaten all day.
Yeah, it was
and
like 16 hours.
And the nurse
hours.
Said, "Go and get something to eat." So I went and got a chicken sandwich or whatever. I didn't just disappear.
It
and
was
go
a chicken
a sandwich.
Burger, and you were sitting there with your feet up on the side of the bed, chomping away.
I loved it, mate.
Mate, it was brutal. Anyway, she talks a lot about that, about the difference between the reality and the expectations, and how funny it is, and how the things that you say before you have kids, like, oh, our kids will never watch television, or like, our kids will only eat healthy meals made by a unicorn lady from the side of the road or something.
I would not buy any food from a unicorn woman from the side of the road.
I don't know. I make no sense at this time of night. Anyway, yeah, it's just great. And if you've got someone in your life who's just had a baby.
I do, but we've got to wrap it up, Claire. We don't have time for these shenanigans.
And you should also go follow her on Instagram, TheLaurenDubois, DuBois. It'll all be linked below.
Sounds good.
She's fun. She does lip sync battles. They're awesome.
Fantastic. She stole that probably, I'd imagine, from other. Isn't that TikTok? Doesn't matter. Hey, listen, Claire, listen up.
Oh, God.
Do you have any recommendations of the people who have written in?
I certainly do. I'm just getting them out.
While you're doing that, I'm just going to say, if you want to review the show, you can do it right in app. This is from Bobby Bob's 64. It says, wife approved. This is one of the few podcasts my wife will listen to with me. The Weekly Planet is too nerdy for her, and Do Go On has too many Simpsons references. Both of those are excellent podcasts, by the way, that they've said. Anyway, I love the chemistry between Mr. Sunday Movies and Claire Tonti. It's like they're married or something, and I've gotten some pretty solid recommendations already, e.g. I Am Mother. So he's picked one of my recommendations, obviously, because why wouldn't you? Because I know what I'm talking about.
Mine are the best.
Well, he didn't mention anyone.
My brother also said, I liked your podcast. I listened to watched I Am Mother. I'm like, what about my recommendation? Anyway. All right, I've got one. I'm from Aaron Filler. Thank you, sir. I know you guys liked Fleabag. Check out Back to Life. It is another short, 6-episode BBC dark comedy drama and is very good. I think you'd like it.
I'm looking at this now.
Ooh, that sounds right up my alley. I really am into that.
But what is it, though?
Aaron Filler. What do you mean, what is it? He just told us.
Yeah, I know, but specifics.
BBC dark comedy drama.
Miriam Matheson returns from prison after 18 years and attempts to integrate back into her old life. Ooh, okay, interesting. Directed by Chris Sweeney. I don't know who that is.
I don't know who that is either. Okay, another one here. David Molofsky of AP2HYC on Twitter says, James, if you liked making comics by Scott McCloud, you should check out How Comics Work by Dave Gibbons 90 and Tim Pilcher. Another great book about making comics and can be enjoyed by non-comic creators and creators alike.
I saw that. That's a great recommendation. I will check those out.
Correct. Exactly. Also, I have another awesome review from someone.
Okay.
This guy is Native Son Indie. I don't know. Anyway,
well said.
He says, the cow story is worth it. Love these two's chemistry. Both will crack you up. And the cow story in the You Can't Read a Horse episode made me laugh so hard I broke out of an anxiety-filled funk. Amazing. Thanks, mate. That is a solid story.
That's great. Well, yeah, it's true.
It is, actually. It's completely true.
It's a true story.
Yep. Listen, you'll have to listen to the last week's episode to find out about the cow. All right, we've really gone over time.
How much time are we at now?
We're at like 34 minutes.
This is outrageous. We need to end the show right now, forever. We've broken what this show is about at its core, and that is not going over 30 minutes. Goodbye forever, everybody. We'll be back next week.
I enjoyed it.
It just has to be 4 minutes shorter next week.
I've got more recommendations.
We're doing 26 minutes next week.
No.
I'm at Mr. Sunday Movies on Twitter. Send us some stuff.
I'm at Claire Tronti on Instagram and at Mrs. Sunday Movies on Twitter. And you should follow us on Ad Suggestible Pod. And I need to go to bed.
Good night, everybody.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.